It's okay. I'm going to try not to go too deep and raw this afternoon, unless he leads that way. I was going to share a bit on the mantle of the cloud this afternoon. And I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to be reading from this book. It just felt really good to be holding it. Got to be something in it. Wow, how's this? He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. That's Ephesians 1:9. Oh, such power in his love and in the mystery of his will. Oh, there's such beauty in the mysteries that he's inviting us in. To be caught up into the cloud of his presence is to be invited into the very realm of mystery, because none of us know what lies beyond. It's often called the cloud of unknowing, or the dark cloud of his presence. It's a cloud of invitation into the mysteries of who he is. Invitation to explore those eternal dimensions of his goodness. It's an invitation to the mist-covered mountain. And there's a reward to those who are willing to ascend. Those who are driven by a love-struck desire to see him in his fullness, no matter what the cost, even if it kills you. Because we're dead already. We died to mortality. We put off corruption. We put on incorruption. Oh, the agony and the aching and the longing of him for him. We don't even count the cost when you're that much in love. That's why there's joy with a sacrifice, because you can see beyond. Just as Jesus did for the joy set before him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you saw beyond. You saw beyond the veil of your own body. You saw beyond into the eternal joy and reward that laid for you in the Father, with the Father. Not only that, Lord, you saw the joy of seeing us in you, in the Father. Not only that, you saw the joy of us in you, in the Father, revealed on the earth. Oh, joyful Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So his mystery beckons us into him. His mystery beckons us into the dark cloud. And this process of fearlessness is learning to trust him, learning to trust in his divine will and his plans. Going beyond our own control and our own paradigm of understanding, just to fully trust him, not knowing what lies the other side. It was quite a terrifying experience the first time I engaged the dark cloud of his presence. I knew that I might not come out the other side. The intensity of passing through and into that was something truly magnificent, for I thought that every part of my being was going to be torn apart. And in a sense, it was. What could be shaken was shaken. I passed in and through as if going through the intensity of a storm. I became united in him, fused with the lightnings that proceed from his face and his hands. I went into the depths of him, into the darkness, into the mystery. But there in the center, I found a place of peace. I found my resting place in him. I found my resting place in him in the beginning. And I was given the great privilege of seeing how he perceives things, a glimpse into the divine perception, into eternity. It's your desire that will draw you into the place of greater spiritual altitude. So whatever obstacles or challenges, whatever lies in the way of you wanting to pursue that invitation into the mystery, I encourage you to have faith, to be a courageous one with eyes that behold and are consumed with the greatness of God. That all else just seems so small in comparison. Everything else just seems rubbish compared to that beauty of pursuing Him. So when we're willing to ascend the mountain, when we're willing to ascend into those heights, into the mist of the tops of the mountain, into that place of the dark overshadowing of His cloud, when those clouds begin to invite us, just as they did to Eden, Enoch, on his shortcut back to Eden. I was going somewhere else then, sorry. Oh, Jesus, bring my body into alignment with everything else. Oh, Lord, sorry. I was bilocating with Eden just then. Okay. Yeah, so when we're willing to ascend those mountaintop places, it requires a disrobing of what we knew before, of any mantles, of any sense of identity, of anything that we'd been anchored in before. We untangle, we disentangle from all that held us to this reality, this identity, even this very DNA that might have identified us with our mother and our father. Because as we ascend the mountain into Him, we begin to get entangled into the heavenly DNA, into the Father's life strand. Because it's by faith we begin to ascend into that place. But when we go back into Him, we realize that in the beginning He seeded us in Him, that we could then be revealed back on the earth in a different form. So we can be clothed in the divine, the mantle of the eternal. So we disrobe and we lay aside all the cares of this world. We lay aside passivity. We lay aside our false identity so that we can be identified in Him, in His holy mountain. Are we willing to turn aside from the masses but then to petition on behalf of the multitudes? That was part of Jesus' life. He knew when to turn aside from the masses in order to ascend the mountain, to engage His Father and to live in that place of the dark cloud. But He also knew when to come down out of the mountain to be revealed to the multitudes, to be the living bread that they were so hungry for. Likewise, our lifestyles can mirror His. As we're found in Him, we can also be living in that place of engaging our Father in that mountain, consumed in the cloud of His presence, clothed in the mantle of the eternal, the incorruptible. Because we find that we're surrendered to the call of His face. And it changes everything. It changes absolutely everything because it commissions us into a place of greater authority. Because it exposes that place in our heart. Are we willing to just lay aside everything in order to engage the great depths of His love? And our authority is our ability to love. So when we're willing to be found in the dark cloud of His presence, when we're willing to ascend the heights, no matter what it takes, no matter what the cost, when we're willing to to lay our own lives down in order to be found in Him, then we're clothed with a mantle of the greater authority of being found in His love, His perfect, sweet love that chases away any fear. This mantle of the cloud changes how we look from the inside out. It's outworked, even in and through our psyche, through the physical. It changes our metabolism even. I found that. Gave me the ability to not sleep or sleep. Because it's the invitation into the eternal. It's not the invitation to live according to the natural laws. It's the invitation to live according to the laws of His Spirit. This cloud will transport you, that you become faith-filled cloud riders like Enoch, where we're not bound to this time, where we're inheriting the future, where we get to walk with God. Skipping away. I just was sharing earlier. We can skip with Enoch and with God. You know, the higher you go, the greater the price, but the better the view from the top. I used to live in Hong Kong, and many of my early days of enjoying him and of engaging his spirit and learning to walk in his ways, it was spent ascending the mountain where I lived, in the natural, a natural mountain in Hong Kong. It was a sweet invitation and one that I could not often resist, because sometimes I'd try and play it safe. If I was limited on time, I would just think, you know what, I'm just going to chill in the foothills. I'm going to find a nice, comfy, shady spot under a tree, and I'll just sit and soak and enjoy his presence here. But there was one time not so long ago when, as I sat enjoying him in this place, I think I only had like half an hour until sunset. So I was a bit limited on time. So I thought, Lord, I'm just going to sit here on this bench, enjoy you. I started to feel that invitation. I started to feel that aching, that groaning, that longing to meet with him in the heights of the mountains, because it was a parallel to the invitation to the height of his holy mountain. And I looked up at this, you know, this awesome mountain range, and I could see that it was completely covered in this dark, eerie cloud. And I said, wow, Lord, just like Enoch, the clouds are inviting me. But it was like 5:30, and I think sunset was about 6. So I thought, I'm going to have to, was it about 5 o'clock? It was 5, it takes me an hour usually to climb the mountain. It was around 5-ish. So I thought, if I'm really, really quick, I might be able to get up to that spot where I hang out with him, and then I'll just have to run down in the dark or something. So I set off on my way up the mountain, and my legs were burning. It's like 34 degree heat. The humidity, the sweat's pouring off you. The muscles are just killing you. Climbing up all these different paths, it's absolutely beautiful. When I got just up near to the spot on these boulders where I sit and hang out with him, I thought, I'll just quickly check the time to see how long I can enjoy him here for. Trying to pull God into my little box here. I looked and I'd climbed the mountain in like 7 minutes. I was like, how does this happen, Lord? My legs are killing me. I've just had the full experience of climbing the mountain. It felt like it took about an hour. I'm covered in sweat. I was out of breath. And yet it had only taken me 7 minutes. He'd performed a time miracle so that I could have more time with him on the mountain. And he gave me a workout in the process. So there is a price to ascend to the heights. You might, you know, you might get a sore butt through trying to ascend and climb up there. You might have to dodge a few snakes on the way. But he's with you, and it's that upward call, that ache and the longing that invites you in. You know what, when you're abiding in the top of his mountain, your view is completely consumed in him. When you're in that place, you're able to see out of his eyes. You're given the clarity and the vision, the perspective of an eagle that also ascends in those heights. Nothing else compares to this beholding. If you climb even higher, until the cloud becomes so dense you can see nothing. All you can see is the fabric of his molecules, that substance of him, as close to you, just as if the very cloud is kissing your face, as you're hidden in the mist of who he is, hidden in the mist, hidden in the mystery, hidden in the mist, hidden in the mystery. So there might be a time of initial concealment, Often when you first engage the cloud, there's this time of hiddenness. You don't go shouting from the rooftops that you're about to ascend the cloud into his presence. It's something that is stirred up in those deep wells within you. It's actually something quite private. It's something I didn't share with anybody for an awfully long time. It was only when Ian Clayton began to talk about it, I thought, wow, this is that thing that, you know, the place that I went to in the Lord. It's only been recently that I can even share about it publicly, because before I would just weep. I'd weep with that intensity of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, because when you're in that place of the cloud of his presence, it's just, you're confronted with love. You're confronted with the depth of his love, and it produces such this awe and reverence and wonder at who he is. Wow. Oh, Lord. It's a precious, precious delight to learn this lesson and then to rejoice in it, to delight in that fear of the Lord. We can be absorbed into him as a face-to-face reality. It's a realm of absolute trust. Because you can't see where you're going when you're actually in the cloud. You have to walk by faith. You have to be carried by faith, transitioned by faith. Hidden in him. Caught up in the substance of his being. To walk in the cloud, to be clothed in it, it's to be clothed in the very essence of Christ himself. Just as he was consumed in the mountain of transfiguration, he was revealed there in a different way, which those close to him had not seen him before. When we begin to engage the cloud, things might start to happen where people actually realize that we're not of the earth. But like I said, it can be quite a private thing. Jesus only took those closest to him. He took those precious three, those that he trusted. Just seeing if it was a stone, but it's not. So Jesus was revealed in the cloud. He went into the place of obscurity, but then he was revealed in that place. He was set in position and he was set in place as a son. It was there that he received the affirmation of the Father. This is my beloved son. Hear him. It was in this place of being hidden in the cloud of God's presence that Jesus had the divine privilege of becoming the voice of God. It was in this place that he was revealed as a lightning of God. It's the lightnings that come out of the dark cloud of God's presence. It was actually in the cloud that the Lord was set in place as a king. He is the King of Kings. And the ultimate mark of kingship is his ability to serve. A king is willing to serve even to the point of trading in his own life. So are we willing to enter into the essence of the cloud? Are we willing to lay our lives down to the point of nothingness? Are we willing to lose ourselves to oneness and a pure and singleness of heart, devoted to him in face-to-face reality? Face-to-face. So in the cloud, we serve the earth from our position in heaven. In the cloud, we're set in place as kings and priests, because we go there as priests to come before his face. But it's there that we're clothed with that mantle of humility, which then prepares us for kingship, so that out of that place, we then serve the earth, bringing it into its fullness of destiny. It's so much bigger than this room. or this conference. This is spanning generations. The cloud is so precious because it unites us. It unites us together as a living community. Because it's through His precious blood that we were bought at such a great price. The Lord knew how to ascend the mountain. He knew how to ascend Golgotha. He paid our ransom so that we could live eternally. He made the pathway that we could also pass through. We're born from above and we're born of the Spirit. We're led and moved by the Spirit as sons, living, moving, breathing in the cloud of His presence. For He made darkness and obscurity His hiding place. His canopy was thick clouds, dark with water. Likewise, He hides in the obscurity of our lives. As we're willing to lay our own lives down to ascend into the reality and substance of Him, He begins to inhabit that. He inhabits us as a living community of believers when we're aligned together, when our hearts are serving Him, when we're all engaged in that desire to be revealed before His face. We all get caught up together. We all get caught up together so that we're all revealed in the dark cloud of His presence. The cloud begins to get heavy with the substance of the sons gathered into His heart. And as the cloud gets heavier and heavier, it begins to rain. The living sons begin to rain on the earth, bringing life. Bringing life, bringing life, bringing life, bringing life. He's coming in the clouds and we are in Him. We become the living cloud of His presence as we navigate the heavenly realms. What a privilege to be able to overlay and transpose the eternal into the temporal. I love living under the overshadowing of my Father. But it's a sweet thing to actually be in His overshadowing and coming with Him like the clouds. Yay. This is why creation groans. It's groaning for us to grow up into maturity, who we are as sons. You know, we're in Him, so we're not static. We're ever moving. We're creating. We're developing. We're being blown by His very breath. We're yoked to Him so that we can become His voice that speaks on the earth. We come as He comes. We are the royal procession of union, ushering in His kingdom with our lives emanating the glory of a new day. Bringing back to Him as worship all that we do, every expression. It's okay if you feel yourself being caught away into the cloud, go for it. Jesus. You know, He came out of eternity and He stepped into our world naked and vulnerable in the form of a baby. He grew up in the trade of a carpenter and then at the right time He was released into the mystical journey of revealing His Father and where He came from. Jesus spent 30 years of His life in obscurity, ready to be revealed at the appropriate time. But the 30 years in obscurity was all preparation. It was all preparation for that moment, for those 3 years of being reigned on the earth, of displaying his Father's splendor. I often wonder if Jesus made lots of mistakes during those 30 years. I bet Mary and Joseph were just so gracious. That's okay, Jesus. You're the Son of God. It's all right. Because we need to make mistakes in order to learn and grow and mature. It needs to be okay. Because every time we make a mistake, it actually gives him an opportunity to show grace to us, which teaches us another facet of his character. It doesn't mean that we intentionally make mistakes. It just empowers us when we do. He's ever inviting us upward and into him. Because the process of pressing into the dark cloud of his presence, other stuff is removed. He wipes the slate clean. He wipes the slate clean with the living record of his blood. It's actually our flaws that connect us as heavenly beings with the earth. Actually allows us to identify with the fallen world around us. It's like I was sharing yesterday about Eden and the joy of returning. We have that joy and that bliss in returning when we've made a mistake. We get welcomed back in. We get welcomed back into the dark cloud of the mystery. Another adventure into his goodness. As we're found in the cloud, we learn what it is to walk with him, just like Enoch did. Noah also did. He was a righteous man. He was blameless among his people of his time. Walking with God is walking in that intimate place of heart-to-heart relationship when we walk by faith in his Son. He becomes our desire. We hear his heart and we become his voice. We become the expression of his good thoughts towards us, revealed on the earth. In Amos it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So we walk with the Lord by aligning our will and our desire with his. So it means we don't have to be perfect. It just means we need to align our hearts in surrender, in that place of yieldedness, with his desires, with his perfect will for our lives. Because when we walk with God, we're walking in the Spirit. When we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the realms of his glory. We're walking in the true reality because we are spirit beings. We're born of the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Jesus. People falling asleep or you getting trancy? Yeah. Caught up somewhere else. Oh, the sweetness of being one with him, of being caught up and united in the allness of God. Allness, not illness. I heard that. We can't control the cloud. Only the wind can move it. Even when we're caught up together in his cloud, there's still unique expressions of that. Some people are caught up into those fluffy expressions of him soaring across the sky on those gusty gale force winds. There's other communities of people that, when they're fused together, they become like those dark, ominous storm clouds rolling in across the horizon. I love that even in something like the dark cloud of his presence, there's still opportunity for the unique expression of his character to be revealed in and through us as unique beings. The community that the Lord's establishing now is going to look different to what was before. When I was flying in and I saw a lot of the people from the cloud of witnesses come up, they were quite fascinated and they were saying something different. There's something different, something never seen before, that they were really interested in what was going on over these next few days. Something different, something different. Many of the ancient ones and, you know, people that have loved this nation and poured their own blood into this land here, many of them are passionate about the Destiny Scroll for South Africa. They've traded into your day. It's so awesome that the things that Justy was sharing yesterday and the challenge and the invitation into governing certain areas. I felt so fired up after that. I kind of wished I lived here so I could. But I'll be with you. I'll be joining you in the cloud, petitioning for some of those things. It would be great to not have those blinking power outages anymore. My goodness. What's with that? And the razor wire fences. Goodness me. Jesus, may that sweet unity of your spirit begin to overflow and saturate every heart in this land. Oh, Jesus, the beauty of that sweet unity, Lord. The invitation to union. May your glory be revealed in this place, Lord. May your glory be revealed in this place, Lord. Wow. Is my Bible there in my bag? I don't think I brought it up with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love, your infinite love, Lord. South Africa, it's your time to love. It's your time to know your beloved. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him also, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Lord, I ask that my words would just saturate hearts in this nation, Lord. I ask that they would fall as rain, Lord. That the very mist of your love would just begin to envelop hearts even now, Lord. That you would bring tides of your peace, Lord. That you would bring overturning of hearts, Lord. Father, I ask that there would be such a great time of repentance, Lord. Wow, that people's hearts and minds would be turned back towards your face, Lord. That they would become flawless. Thank you, Father, for the rich deposits in this land. Likewise, with the dark treasures that are hidden beneath the land, Lord, I ask that there would be such a revealing of your glory. Through the dark places of hopelessness, Lord, I ask that there would be such a display of your splendor, revealed through the powerful manifestation of your love. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father. Wow. It's wonderful. Just welcome that awe of his presence, the awe of who he is. You know, we're tiptoeing into a time that the heroes of the faith set their hopes on. It's a time of such revelatory expansion. And it's a time of the enhancement of our understanding so that we can learn to walk in the ways of God, like it speaks about in Zechariah. And it's a time for us learning about how to judge his house, judging in his house, and how we participate in his courts in order to see change and shifts. As we learn to participate there, we're then given places to walk. Or in another version, we're also given access with those who stand by. So we're given access to walk in and out of these realms, to become the fusion, to be found in his cloud, to be revealed on the earth, to legislate there, to see the manifestation of it here. This access is a threshold in the kingdom that I believe many are beginning to enter in and through. As straightforward as it might seem for us to birth and nurture the destiny of our times, his desires aren't limited or confined to South Africa alone, or even this planet. It goes beyond. He's inviting us beyond, beyond anything we've ever known or seen before. It's an unknown adventure. So it is with reverent awe that we need to trust him with every single step. Because to know him is to know the way, for he is the way. We only see in part, and our dependency in him is actually what qualifies us. We can tread carefully but confidently into this revelatory threshold. But we embrace the fear of the Lord and we lean into wisdom. We're stepping into the days of his revealing and the sons of glory. Even as we begin to glimpse of the greatness of the wonderful things that he has in store, yet still, just as powerfully, he invites us ever further, ever deeper into the depths of knowing him. It's the invitation into the depths of knowing him. Oh Lord, you are Lord of all creation. All creation. All creation, where he sits beyond us, he sits outside of time, he seated us in him, yet he's so intricately involved in every single tiny mechanism and outworking and going on in eternity. So if we're one with him and his spirit is infinite, eternal and omnipresent, we also can be those things. If we allow our consciousness to consider this, maybe a bit stretching and maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but there is the possibility of us also being found in him as being omnipresent, infinite, eternal. But in order to function in these things, it's imperative that we're established in love and in compassion. This is why I shared about suffering and stuff earlier. I know it's not all that comfortable, but it's actually many times when we go through sufferings and trials, pains and heartaches, that is actually a journey of learning love and compassion. It might not have been a very complicated message, but it's actually so core to have these foundations in our heart of love and compassion, of being able to show mercy, of being found centered in his love. It's so important for the things that we're being entrusted with further on down the line. So as we're found in his existence, mantled with the dark cloud of his presence, we're found in eternity. Being found in his existence, we actually span all generations. Thank you, Jesus.